Well, let's cross to South Africa now and find out some more about this fossil discovery, what scientists are calling a previously unknown species of early human. Playing a key role in the discovery of the two partial skeletons was an 11-year-old boy.
I turned the rock over like this, and then I saw the clavicle sticking out. That's the collarbone here. And I didn't know it was at first. I thought it was just an antelope. So I called my dad over, and about 5 meters away, he started swearing. And I was like, what did I do wrong? And he's like, nothing, nothing. You found a hominid. So I was so excited.
You found a hominid. Imagine that. That's Matthew Berger, the son of Professor Lee Berger, who, along with Paul Dirks, had this discovery and their findings published in the latest edition of the journal Science. Professor Paul Dirks is the head of the School of Earth and Environmental Studies at James Cook University. He joins us now not far from the site where these skeletons were discovered in Marapang in South Africa, an area also known as the cradle of humankind. Paul, welcome to ABC Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning.
And congratulations on all of this. You're there, been there with a bird's eye view of this from the very beginning, just about. Can you give us a sense, Paul? I think what everyone is reading about this morning wants to know is, what do these early hominids look like?
The early hominids that we found look like animals with very long arms, and they walked upright and they had a bipedal stride and sort of walked in them with a pelvic structure that is very similar to early Homo erectus. They had small heads with a small brain, so they would have looked like a short person, 1.30 meters tall, walking upright with long legs and a pinhead.
Okay, so upright like us, but long arms and small brains, more like the ape. So can we definitely say it is across one of the missing links between ape and man?
Look, the term missing link is a bit of a loaded term, and people have been asking us about it the whole day. Because it
Sorry,
assumes
Paul.
That there's a simple connection between one species moving into the next. And the truth is, we really don't know how the evolutionary path of all these species was working, and it's a very complicated bush. But what we found is a species that shows both primitive characteristics that are typical for Australopithecines, and at the same time, they've got derived characteristics that are very similar for very, very similar to early Homo, and it's all displayed in two complete skeletons that we have that puts a really new look at what these early hominids or early Homo or late Australopithecine species we're really looking at.
I suppose there is a limit to what we can find out, probably, but in terms of where they are on the human evolutionary scale, can we say that these beings, and we'll talk about them more specifically in a moment, but would have been at home, for instance, in trees and on the ground? Can we say that, given the structure?
No, that's what it looks like. They seem to have been fairly comfortable walking, but they still kept their long arms sort of like parachutes. If they wanted to get out in the tree, they could do so.
And can we know from what you found whether they were covered in hair or what their exterior might have looked like?
No, we don't know at this point in time whether they were very hairy or not. The fossils are in extremely good condition, and there is soft tissue imprints potentially there, but that's still being researched, so we don't quite know what the outcome of that will be.
Okay, now what young Matthew Berger stumbled across were the remains of what appear to be a juvenile male, somewhere between 10 and 13 years old. Nearby, you then discovered an adult female. These people were in a cave, in a pit, as Chris Smith was telling us. Do we know whether they were mother and son?
No, we don't know at this point in time. What we found was it's a small little cave site. It's really a deeply eroded cave, and what's on the surface is a relatively shallow hole in the ground, which is 2 meters deep or so. And it was mined out in part by people looking for lime about 80, 90 years ago. And in the process, they broke open a number of rocks which they laid out on the site. And it's one of these blocks that Matthew saw the fossils of the hominids in. We then went into the cave, into the hole itself, and within a layer of about 50 centimeters, which is a mud flow deposit, we found the two skeletons in the articulation, with the female lying about 40 centimetres below the juvenile skeleton.
You, I know that you and Professor Berger had been looking for fossils in this area. There had been some finds. You had a fair idea there'd be more here. Did you think, Paul, when you started looking in this area, that there would be anything like this?
No, not at all. What we actually started doing, for a very long time, people have been looking for fossils in the cradle of humankind, but they've always been looking in the same spots. And nobody had ever really done a systematic survey of trying to understand geologically why the caves are where they were. And that's what we tried to set out to do. So in early 2008, we teamed up. Lee Berger is a paleoanthropologist, I'm a structural geologist, and we thought that it would be a good idea to try and understand the distribution of the caves within the landscape and try and be a bit more predictive about where these caves were, and maybe in that way understand better which caves would have bones in it and why there would have been bones in it. But we never anticipated finding what we did. Mm. And it happened actually 3 months after we started the project, and there's probably more out there.
Which is pretty instant gratification, isn't it? Probably more out there. Have you found anything more even close to as interesting as this since?
Look, within the space of 6 months or so, we mapped out 600 new cave sites, and we found 40, 50 sites which have got bones in it, and several of those are completely new, including Sidibe, that nobody had ever looked at before. And I think the potential for other sites is very, very good.
Which would be significant, wouldn't it? Because Lee Berger says fossils from this period, close to 2 million years ago, are very thin on the ground. We hardly have anything.
No, it's a period, it's a very important period in human evolution because it marks the transition from Australopithecus to Homo, and the number of complete skeletons is basically nil in that time period. There's a very patchy fossil record, and what we found now is two really magnificent fossils, and there is more. There's other skeletons on the site as well, so there's going to be more finds of this nature in future as well, and they're very complete and they're very well preserved.
Very exciting, and congratulations, Paul. Just before I let you go, does this new find, these two remains that you found, does this new species have a name yet?
No, Australopithecus sediba, but
that's
we
catchy.
Haven't given them the popular name yet. There is going to be a national competition here in the schools in South Africa to get the school kids to name the fossils.
Fantastic. Great work. Congratulations, Paul. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Professor Paul Dirks is head of the School of Earth and Environmental Studies at James Cook University and one of the lead authors behind this extraordinary discovery, joining us there from Murupeng in South Africa, just near where the fossils were discovered. It's 10 minutes to 7.